Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Let's open our Bibles tonight. Just for a few moments, I'm going to share with you some secrets about possessing the land. And first of all, we want to ask the question, why is the Feast of First Fruits also connected to the land of Israel? More than any other one of the biblical feasts, Shavuot is the biblical feast that actually is most connected to the land of Israel than any other biblical feast. And this is because also we today in our own personal lives can praise God because the Feast of Shavuot is going to connect us to our land. Put your hands up right now and say, tonight, I'm dedicating my study here in this service to my land. I do not want to be denied any part of the land God has called me in Jesus' mighty name. And we're giving God the praise and we're giving God the glory tonight. Hallelujah. So tonight, let us open our Bibles to the book of, first we're going to open to the book of Exodus, and we're going to look at Exodus. We're going to see how all three feasts are connected to the land. We have seen this, but I want to use this as a background because tonight we're talking about the land and God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise that we will come into our destinies and we will possess our lands. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 through 16. And tonight we're waiting for it to just go on the screen. And we're looking for the word of the living God here tonight. So let's begin. Pastor Sanjay, would you just read that for us, please?
Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty.
And verse 16.
And the feast of harvest, the firstfruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and in the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field.
Do we see the connecting components between coming out of the land of Egypt, and then we are seeing the first fruits, the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. You must understand that at this point in biblical history, the children of Israel are not yet in the promised land. But yet we see what is happening here is that the last two biblical feasts, the Feast of Sukkot, but especially the Feast of Pentecost is actually connected to the land more than any of the other feasts. Let's look for a moment at Deuteronomy 26 so we can see the spiritual significance of the land and the Feast of Pentecost and what this means in our lives for our promises, to possess the promises of God in this supernatural season. We're looking at verse 20, chapter 26, verse 1. And the Bible says, and it shall be when you are come into the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess it and dwell therein, that you will take the first of the fruit of all the earth which the Lord your God has which you shall bring from the land that the Lord your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God has chosen to put his name there. First of all, we need to see that there's going to be a profession of faith, that this text is going to give us details. It's not going to be ambiguous like the other text. The other text doesn't tell us any details about Shavuot. It just says your labors that you have sown in the field, and then for the feast of Sukkot, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. So first of all, we know that the text is speaking specifically about seed that is not agricultural. Seed that is not agricultural is your labor, your labors that you have sown in the field. And the word here for labor is not labor that has to do with agriculture. It is another emphasis that God is putting on with the kind of labor that you sow into the kingdom. It's called ma'aseh in Hebrew. So the word is your ma'aseh that you have sown in the field and your ma'aseh that you have brought out of the field. So what is ma'aseh? Ma'aseh is, first of all, the translation from the word labors to the word works or the word actions. So God is saying your actions and your works you have sown in the field, and you are going to gather them up out of the field. Are you with me, dear people of God? Now, in here in Deuteronomy 26, the book of Deuteronomy is saying that when you come into the land, the most important thing that God is saying is that you're going to bring the first fruits from your land and you're going to present them unto the Lord to the place that the Lord your God has chosen. But notice what is being ordered by Moses. Moses is going to command Israel, because God is speaking to Moses to do so, to profess over those first fruits a confession of faith. And I want you to see it. This is the only place in the Bible where we know that God has commanded Israel, when they are bringing something to the Lord, to confess over it this specific words. Look at verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 26. It says, and you will speak and say before the Lord your God, Assyrian ready to perish was my father, meaning Abraham. And he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous looking. And the Egyptians evil entreated us. Notice how all of a sudden it skips to Egypt. Are you seeing that? It skips many, many many years in Israel's history, and it goes straight to Egypt. And it says, the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, and he heard our voice. And he looked upon our affliction, our labor, and our oppression. Say this with me, labor and oppression. All right, so we are beginning to understand what Moses is showing us about the first fruits. Next verse, please. And the Bible says, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs and wonders, and has brought us into this place and given us this land that is flowing with milk and honey. So we are understanding that the Feast of First Fruits is to emphasize that now their labor has been redeemed. Are you understanding this? Put your hands up tonight and say, my labor has been redeemed. God has redeemed my labor and brought it up to another level. You see, the children of Israel were in labor in the field. They were in service in the field. They were evil and treated in the field. There was no land for them to possess in the field. They owned no land. They were under forced labor. And I want you to understand that labor was not only physical labor, that labor was emotional labor. That labor also was psychological labor. It was travail that they were laboring in the field. Are you with me, saints? If you are, say amen. And God delivered them supernaturally and brought them out of the land. But the fullness of the redemption is not just leaving Egypt. Your redemption is culminated with your land. That is why God ordained the first fruits of the land to be offered to God, because it represents the redemption of labor. Somebody ought to say, Shavuot redeemed my labor. Come on. Shavuot redeemed my labor. Somebody ought to claim that tonight and say, God called me to another kind of labor. God called me to labor in his kingdom. God called me to labor, and I'm bringing the first fruits of my land to say, God, thank you that I'm not a slave any longer under the bondage of Egypt. Somebody ought to praise God. Do we see the connecting components in ancient Israel? This is why, again, we look. Now, we want to see this concept of in the field, and we want to see the concept of labor. Sit with me, in the field and labor. Going back to Exodus chapter 23, we're going to use hermeneutical devices, if you don't mind, for a moment, so that we might be able to fully understand the supernatural secrets and the personal, powerful, prophetic meaning of how Shavuot shows us God's validation. How Shavuot shows us that God has ordained each and every one of us with a land, and he is fulfilling his promises that he made to the forefathers. This is why it's so very important that we understand Shavuot is the feast of taking the labor off of the land, offering to God the first fruits. But I want you to see that in the book of Genesis, when the Bible shows us on the third day of creation, the very first thing that came up from the earth was wheat. And those of you who were with us in our class on Monday night saw literally from the literal Hebrew we discussed on the Zoom class Monday night, we brought up on the screen the various words in Hebrew that are used in the Genesis narrative on the third day of creation. And we saw how also we brought up scientific evidence how wheat is diagnosed, or it's actually a grass. And so we saw that it's one of the seven main grass families. So that when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 13, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, and God said, on the third day of creation before time, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed. We saw herb yielding seed as what it actually translates in Hebrew as sprouted grain. So we need to understand that the very first thing that came up from the earth when God's word came into the earth was wheat. It was the first thing that came up out of the earth. Why is it the first thing that came up out of the earth? Because God is showing us not only the biblical feast of Shavuot before time, but God is showing us your destiny, your land, who you are to be, and what God has called you to possess by his spirit through his word was already ordained before time. That what you are doing for him in the land he has called you to is the holy of holies to you. Are you understanding this? That means that you and I need to understand that which is being assessed before time is the holiest. Are you hearing me? Because it refers to something that's in eternity. It refers to something that's not of this earth. It refers to something before time. Let's look at that just for a moment. Let's go to Genesis, and we have it on the screen, but I'd like us to look at it in the sense so we can understand and connect the components of the spiritual secrets of Shavuot tonight, hallelujah, with our land, and that tonight we will know that God is faithful to give us our land, that God is faithful, hallelujah, to bring your destiny out of your land. And during this feast of Shavuot, we are going to believe God for our land. Are you with me, dear ones? Looking at the word, looking at verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Notice in the Genesis narrative, now we're going to get hermeneutical for a moment, is that okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all right if we do advanced biblical studies. Turn to your neighbor and say, I was ordained to study the scripture in the highest method. Okay, tell your neighbor, I'm off the pablum and I'm going into the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Come on and praise the Lord with this. All right. Now, I want us to see, dear people of God, I want us to see that always Moses unites Shavuot with Sukkot. Feast of Tabernacles, first is Shavuot, Pentecost, and then is Feast of Tabernacles. He always unites them together. Sit with me. Moses unites them together in Genesis and in Exodus, okay? And he always places Passover right before. So the three Shalosh Ragalim, say it with me. The three Shalosh Ragalim, these are the three primary biblical feasts. And we're looking at these because God has promised us eternal promises through Jesus Christ. And you can receive those promises tonight for your land, for your destiny, for your children, for your family. Okay? So where do we see in the creation narrative? We all are very familiar with it because I've shared it many times. But where do we see the three Shalosh Ragalim, the three biblical feasts of Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles? We see them in Genesis 1 from verses 6 to 11, five verses. Say it with me, five verses Moses dedicates in the creation story to telling us that the biblical feasts are before time. He is telling us, first of all, the Bible says in verse 6, let's go to verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Some of you may say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with Passover. That is telling us that God is dividing the waters. Yes, it is telling us God dividing the waters in the creation story, but it is also telling us that God's word is the DNA of creation. Say this with me. God's word is the DNA of creation. And he spoke his word into the waters. Say it with me. He spoke his word into the waters. Because the Bible says, God said, let the waters divide from the waters. Say it with me. God said, let the waters divide from the waters. And at the Red Sea during Passover, Passover is a 7-day feast. So when the children of Israel left Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, this is still Passover. Are you understanding? This is unleavened bread. This is during the feast. The waters divided from the waters. Are you hearing this? So that means that the miracle that took place at the Red Sea, the destiny of the Red Sea was to split. God ordained it during creation. God already planned deliverance for the children of Israel in creation. Say this with me. My deliverance was already ordained by God before the foundation of the world. He already had a plan. He already had a deliverance. He already had a plan set for you and me before we were ever in a place of danger. God planned our deliverance. Now we'll look, beloved ones, we'll look at the sequence. Say it with me. We're going to see continuity in the context. Okay, so the Bible has shown us Passover in the prophetic parallel of God dividing the waters from the waters, the DNA of God's word already spoken into the water, so the water had to split when Moses stretched his hand over it because it was created to split. Are you hearing this? Now let's look at the next. The next verses tell us in verse, we saw verse 6, let's look at verse 8. And verse 8 and verse 9. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. Do you realize the phrase dry land appearing is also at the Red Sea? When the children of Israel entered into the Red Sea, the Bible tells us that God split the waters and dry land appeared. Are you hearing this? So we see not only, beloved saints, in the verses above, but we also see in the verses beneath that God ordained the deliverance that took place at the Red Sea as one of the mightiest acts of God. Are you hearing this? All right, so let's follow it systematically in the sequence and look now at verse 10. Verse 10 says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now watch this in verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree after its kind, whose seed is in itself. This doesn't sound relevant at all. We would say, what in the world does this have to do with Shavuot? But it has everything to do with the Feast of Pentecost, because as we see, Passover is revealed in verses 6 through 9. Now we are going to see Shavuot would be the next biblical feast in order, in chronological order. And it would be the feast of first fruits, because it is the feast of first fruits, sacrificing the first fruits of wheat. But notice what is happening here. God said, let the earth bring forth the grass. The herb-yielding seed translates into the Hebrew word sprouted grain. Say with me, sprouted grain. And in the five grains in the land of Israel, the most valuable grain is wheat. And the particular wheat, the species of wheat, is a species of grass. Did you know that, saints? Many of us did not know that wheat, botanically and scientifically, is classified as a grass. So when God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the sprouted grain, or the herb-yielding seed, it is a direct connect to wheat. Are you with me? And it's the first thing that came up from the earth. The first thing that came up from the earth was not a lawn. The first thing that came up from the earth was the species of grass, which is the wheat. So now we have Passover. Now we have Shavuot. So what is this telling us? This is telling us that God has ordained the earth. The earth here, beloved saints, is the word audits. Say it with me, the audits. It represents land. It's not just earth, but land. Hallelujah. So God is showing us the story of deliverance in the creation story. God is showing us his plan in the creation story, that coming up out of the earth, hallelujah, out of the land is first fruits. So that means as we look at the creation story, we can say, God, thank you that you ordained my land before the foundation of the world. First of all, he ordained the land of Israel before the foundation of the world. And so when first fruits are offered, it is a deliverance from labor in the things of this world that are so grievous that we have to bear. Hallelujah. And we see, beloved saints, that the scripture says, and the herb yielding seed after its kind. Now, if this is indeed a pattern, then the next with the fruit tree is going to correspond perfectly with the Feast of Tabernacles, won't it? Won't it correspond? If this is a pattern, and we have seen indeed that Passover is revealed in day number 2 of the creation story, and the DNA of creation is God's word. God's word was spoken into the sea splits. Moses deliberately uses the words at the Red Sea in chapter 14 of Exodus in verses 16 and 21. He uses the same wording from the creation story so that we do not in any way misinterpret, so we understand that he is connecting those components together. Now we have seen, we have understood the Hebrew words that are used, that are translated into English in the next biblical feast that is revealed on the third day of creation, which is the sprouted grain, the first thing coming up from the earth. So in reality, if this is indeed a pattern, then the fruit tree has to be connected to Feast of Tabernacles. I said, if this indeed is a pattern, then the fruit tree has to be connected to the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Are you following me? If Moses is showing us that the blessings, the promises that God has ordained for us during the biblical feast are before time, then we are going to have it proven during the biblical feast. We're going to see the match. So let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23, and where we're going to begin with verse 34. So we know that Moses is elaborating and the Torah is elucidating, if you will, the details on the Feast of Tabernacles. The Bible says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month shall be a Feast of Tabernacles unto the Lord. So are we talking about Feast of Tabernacles? Yes or no? All right. So let's skip over to the 40th verse. The 40th verse says, and you will take on the first day, and you shall take you on the first day boughs of what? Everybody say that together. Goodly trees. You will take boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and you will rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Have you ever wondered why 7 is in all the biblical feasts? It is not just because 7 represents a cycle and 7 represents Shabbat. It also is because of the 7 days of creation. God is saying he ordained the blessings, the deliverance, the breakthroughs that he has for you during the season of biblical feasts, during the time of the creation. Are you hearing this, beloved? Let us look and see. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 11 again, second part of verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, that is Shavuot also, and the fruit tree after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so, it is telling us that in the creation story, Moses is showing us that Feast of Tabernacles and Shavuot, Pentecost, are together. Are you with me, beloved saints? So this is demonstrating to us the foreknowledge of God, the predestined knowledge of God, the predestined plan of God, that during the biblical feast, God has already prepared breakthrough for you and for me. He has ordained it before the foundation of the world to show us this is not a secular segment of time, but it's a time for our faith to rise. It's a time for us to believe God. It's a time that God is going to bring breakthrough in our family. God is going to bring breakthrough for our children. God is going to bring breakthrough in our lives. Are you with me? Hallelujah. This is why we need to understand why these biblical feasts are so important, and what God is saying to us first and foremost about the feast coming up on June 1st. The Feast of Shavuot, that God is saying this is a redemption of labor. I want to go deeper into this and show you hermeneutically, taking another step with biblical hermeneutics. Say this with me. I can get off the pablum and go into the deep things of God through studying scripture and through not being intimidated, through knowledge of the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right. I want us to see, because the word is what saves us. The word is what heals us. The word is what delivers us. The word is our promise. Hallelujah. Did you know, beloved saints, that the word promise in Hebrew is the same word as word? Say this with me. Every word that God speaks to me is a promise. Hallelujah, and it can't break. Hallelujah. Somebody should give God the praise and the glory. They cannot fail, because the promises of God are God's word. I want us to see, in going back to the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and I want us to see the wording, and I want you to see how Moses is connecting in the field to the labor in the field. How that when later, when they came into the land and brought the first fruits, we saw that the confession over the first fruits is a confession of deliverance from the oppression and affliction of labor in the field. Are you hearing this? God wants to break off the affliction in your life. God wants to break off the oppression in your life. God wants you to begin to receive all of the prophetic promises that He has for you and I. Hallelujah, in this season. The feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which you have sown in the field. All right. Let's see where else we see in the field. Let's go just for a moment to Exodus chapter 1. And we're looking at verse 13. Exodus 1 verses 13 and 14. The Bible is showing us. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. The word rigor is the word perek. Many of us know from studying many years the Feast of Passover with us. Perek is a word that means to break apart. It means that also means, it also means cruel bondage. It has to do with forced labor and cruel bondage. Looking at the next verse, the Bible says, and made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and what? All manner of service in the field. So God is saying something else about Shavuot. The labor in the field, the labor in your hard days, the days of your affliction, the days of your testing, the days of your trial is now reckoned unto God as seed in the field. And you're going to reap a harvest from it. say this with me, my labor was not in vain. My testing was not in vain. My tears were not in vain. Everything I went through in this earth is gonna produce profit for the kingdom. Somebody ought to say, God's not wasting my years of tears. God is not wasting my labor in the field. God is gonna use it for his glory. Hallelujah, because it's sown in the field. Hallelujah. We should give God the praise and give God the glory. That means every bit of hardship you've ever gone through. That means every bit of affliction. The years you can't understand that you feel might be wasted. Some of you just have had such difficult times in your life and very painful experiences that you may be going through this very moment. God is validating your pain. You see, why are we spending so much time on this concept of your labor sown in the field? Why is the Bible spending so much time on identifying Shavuot as not only an agricultural feast, but a feast for all generations? Because God is saying, whoever you are, wherever you are, when you are his child and you have sown labors into the field, those labors, ma'aseh, deeds and actions, but the field represents the place of hardship. The field represents the place of affliction. The field represents the place of tears. The field represents a place of trauma. Some of you have been traumatized. Some of you have gone through affliction and labor and backbreaking burdens. But today, God wants to loose you. Today, God wants to free you. Today, God wants to lift you up. Today, God wants to break your burden. Somebody ought to praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button, or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.